Hi listeners, welcome back to episode 2 of Podmatch Presentations, The Mic and Time. Today we have with us someone who graduated MICA back in 2010. This man is an ardent Arsenal fan. He was a member of SCAM and Three Netra. Currently, he's working at a spirits company called Remy Quantro. So here's presenting Abhishek Parameshwaran, or as people fondly call him, Shaky.
Hi Abhishek, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So let's begin with your first interactions with the seniors, your first year. How was that for you?
So in the first year, I think in terms of sports, when we come into MICA, we realized very quickly that one of the few things that would keep us going in a place that was cut off from the city and from civilization, and in general, you know how it is, it's a remote, secluded place. The one thing that would keep us going would be sports as well. So it would be a very key and important part of what we're doing over there. So I think all of us within our batch, in the orientation time itself, we realized that it would be important to sort of have a good close connect with sports, especially obviously the sportsmen within us. So there were obviously people who were good at cricket, good at football, good at badminton, good at TT. So everyone found their niche, and I think it was very good to see at least that enthusiasm. It didn't carry on, let's say, for everybody for the entire time that we were there, but pretty sure for the first few months we were quite enthusiastic about it.
Okay. So tell us about your PGP 1 versus PGP 2 football match. There was a lot of enthusiasm surrounding that.
Yes. Actually, when we, in our first year, we had entered, and what we realized was that the second year had had a pretty, let's say, testing time with their seniors. So they didn't have the best relationship with their seniors. So they were looking forward to our batch coming in because they thought, okay, let's try and make amends for that situation because we didn't get along with them at all. But I'm pretty sure they thought that they wanted to get along with us. So we went through a period of initiation, let's say, for about a week, which was cut short because somebody from our batch complained. But it was actually quite a fun period. They never took it beyond the limit, let's say. There was a regular sort of initiation stuff of doing tasks and getting shouted at and having to like put oil on your hair and do all of that stuff. But it was all in good humor. So I think you would have heard from the last podcast with Akshay Appu as well about how he made us do various things during this time. Now, all that camaraderie that came about and the closeness that came about after this initiation was put aside during the PGP 1 versus 2 football match because they were quite competitive. They had a full cheering contingent that they would get for each match. And at this point, when we played that first game, we realized, okay, this is going to be quite serious because they used to come with the drums and they used to have chants and they would have their favorite players and they would back them and it would be quite... We didn't really have that as a batch. We just started, right? So we just were getting to know each other, barely knew each other for a few months. So when that first match came in, I think it gave us a chance to show our side of things and support each other, which I think we did quite well. It was a very intense game from that number. Final score was 4-3, so quite a few goals going in as well on that day. And yeah, it was personally a good match for me. I scored a couple of goals, but that being said, we still ended up on the losing side. So bittersweet memories from that game.
All right. So we heard that you play to the galleries and never pass the ball. Is that true?
Not completely accurate, but since Akshay Appu has said that, I think I will accept some part of it. I do pass the ball now, that's definitely there, but yes, in the initial part of the time that I was there in MICA, I think I took it upon myself that, we didn't have, to give a bit of a background, we didn't have, let's say, football players as such. We have people who like football, who I played a little bit, but not too many of the people in our batch were really footballers as such, except for a few, maybe a couple here and there. So what I felt was that, okay, maybe I need to take the responsibility of doing a lot of things on my own. And yeah, that ended up in me maybe holding on to the ball a little too long at times, but I think it was required in some way. That said, I have I did learn from that, because obviously Akshay made it, Appu made it, made sure that he would tell me about it and remind me. So yeah, it was quite fun. Yeah, he used to joke about it all the time with me.
And why did you miss the scam elections in the first year?
Why did I miss scam elections? This is also Akshay Appu, because his favorite memories of me are always me doing something, screwing up in some way. But it was, the reason I had missed it was because we had the Litcom election, by the process the next day, and at that time we could only apply for one committee, and I think I had already applied to Litcom from what I remember, and I should have stayed to obviously do the voting process for scam etc, but I think we just gone after Water Movie eventually, so group of our friends basically went off to Water Movie, and that's why I missed the first year scam elections. There was a foregone sort of conclusion that there would be two people who would be sort of scammies and they would win because they were like super passionate about sports, both cricket players, all of that. So I think
So tell us about the football rivalry between IMA and Mica.
The rivalry between IMA and Mica, I didn't really I didn't know that there was a rivalry, to be honest, when I first came in. But there was apparently a rivalry, being the only two big sort of B schools in the city. And IIM came on campus on the, in the first year. Unfortunately, I decided to get a little, let's say, unwell the next morning. I had to fall unwell because I had nausea and a headache, for reasons that are best explained otherwise. So what happened was that I reached the match after having had lots of Vimupani and lots of water and trying to get myself, you know, absolutely straight for the match. And I was still not feeling very well when we started. I don't think I feel very well, and we lost 4-1. And I went out and sent an apology mail after that to my batch, the senior batch, the CCC batch, the PGPX, everyone basically in my class at that time. That it's down to me, it's my fault that this has happened, and we'll make sure that we beat them again. We didn't play them again, that year. But the next year, in 2009, when we came back, we called them back when we were in second year, we actually did beat them 1-0. And a guy named Dilip Reddy, who's my batchmate, he scored the winning goal. And yeah, that was our redemption, so to say.
Nice. And tell us about your time in Sankalp. You tried your hand at acting. How was that for you?
Acting, and I never really thought that I would be an actor. I was always very scared of the stage. I have massive stage fright. What I did think was that this is the only time that I can try something. These 2 years are possibly the last time that I will get in some time that they've, within the studying sort of phase of my life, to try new things like acting or, you know, writing or whatever it might be. And since I'd never tried acting before, I thought, okay, let's give this a go. It sounds like something I could possibly do, even though I'm super scared of getting on stage. In the last term of our first year is when I first decided to audition, and it turned out well, and the play was on a script, on a short story called Koldo by Manto, and that's what then I played a character on that very seriously, but it was quite a good experience, so I realized that I was actually having quite a lot of fun, so decided to continue, and I had a couple of plays after that as well.
All right. So, in your second year, you were a scammy, right?
Yeah.
So, how was that for you, beginning with the elections? How were these scam elections?
Yes, so the scam elections were quite interesting because I was told much later about a story that happened within the elections itself. So at the end of the first year, when we were obviously going back to get selected for the senior committees, I had in my mind that, okay, this is the committee that I probably should go for, this being obviously scam. That, the reason for that is I feel scam is part of our lives for every single day that we are in Mica. Most of the other committees, the ones that were fun like TMT or Sankalp, I'd already obviously gone in for, and I was part of TMT by that time, and Sankalp as well, I'd done a few plays, so these are the fun ones according to me. The other ones I wasn't really that interested in after 1 year, but for scam I thought it's a great responsibility. It's something which allows new ideas. I had lots of ideas that I wanted to do in the second year, And I thought, okay, this is something that really is, this source my vote and is something that I can try. So when we stood for the election, there were four main candidates. And from what I remember, it was quite close. And in my memory, it was a very close fourth election, and Sujit and I became candidates. Years later, I found out, or a few years later, I found that one of the senior candidates by the name of Satish had in fact been reading out names, mine and Sujit's names, regardless of who the person had voted for, after a point. So while the election was going on, he realized that, okay, the guys who were the junior candidates, I'm not sure about their own internal scene at that time, but basically I think they were not doing too much of work, or rather the senior candidates were not happy with them at all. So they felt they're not going to be responsible enough to handle the senior scam. And they decided that, regardless of what happens, these guys are not going to have the be the senior one. So they sort of made sure that Sujit and I won the election, so to say. But it was fun. I think it's now you can look back at it in 10 years and laugh about it. But if Neeraj and Ashish are listening, then sorry about that. But you can talk to Suvish and Apu.
And how was your year as a scammy?
My year as a scammy was a lot of fun. I think it was one of the most fun years. I mean, generally, Micah is the most fun year of your lives in any case, according to me. At least for me. It can be for different people. But for me, scam was the opportunity to show off my creativity. I used to be a huge Photoshop fan at that time. So I used to keep doing something or the other on Photoshop. So the first step was to create posters. So I went around creating posters of the Paddy final and TT final and cricket finals and all that stuff. And I thought I was doing a really great job by doing all these things. And then I had, when we entered the second year, one of the major things that I've seen was that we didn't have too much participation across sports from the female members of our batch. And that was really disappointing because we wanted to see everyone play sports, obviously. And we did have people playing badminton and TT, but a lot of the girls didn't really want to get into the other sports. So, and we didn't really have, to be fair, didn't really have enough opportunities in football or cricket or anything at that time. One of the things that we introduced was the Panache Short Cricket Tournament, which was a lot of fun because what happened in that was that you had a mandatory sort of, you have to have one female member in the team and three, basically a team of four. So, but one compulsorily has to be female. And it was within Panache in the courtyard itself. And there were people lining up all over, basically on the first floor and on the ground floor, cheering on every person within that setup. So you had specific rules for direct outs and like one with one hand and stuff like that. And the fun bit was also that everybody who walked in the bat or bowl actually would get their own song. So a bit like how WWE does it, where they have songs for the entrances. Everyone would have their own songs with like flashing and stuff like that happening. So it was quite cool to see that enthusiasm because we got full participation from the batch. I think we had some 20 teams or something, which is like 80 people out of 100. So 115 matches we were. So it was quite fun to see. And I think that was a big success. And the second year, we were quite enthusiastic overall. I think we had something called the Super Selector, which was quite fun as well during the MCL. So how you have fantasy teams, we created fantasy teams within Micah. So you would select your own batchmates and they would make points according to how many runs they scored, how many runouts they got, how many wickets they got, stuff like that. So it was very detailed. We have a full Excel sheet. I still have that Excel sheet somewhere. The issue with that, however, we realized within a couple of matches, three, four matches of the MCL happening, was that people started looking at the opposite team and saying, oh, you're my team and you're not scoring runs, what is happening? And stuff like that was going on in the middle of the pitch. They're like, oh, no, you're on my team and you can't get out right now. So it was quite funny because you're playing an opponent and you're saying, you have to score runs today. So I think that after a point, the captains all got together and said, listen, this is causing havoc. So can we please do something about this? Because we had basically put a cash prize, right? So people were quite motivated to get it. So then we went back and said, okay, guys, stop taking it so seriously. It's supposed to be fun. Like, don't rig matches against your own team or, like, want the other person to do better. So, yeah, that was fun. And then we had something where we created advertisements. So an MCL ad, a teaser ad featuring one of my batchmates called Lavi Mehta. So we sort of shot that in the middle of the night and then all the way till the morning. Yeah, we used to do a lot of crazy stuff like that. One of my regrets was not being able to do a sports test, but Manas Makani, who was my junior scanning at that time, he really took it seriously, and he was the one who started summer in 2011. All credit to him for starting it off, because it took a lot of effort. I know how much effort it took. We didn't even have goalposts, and he managed to do a full sports test, so I can just imagine how difficult it must have been.
Wow. And you also went for an external tournament in your second year for the first time.
Yes, we went to IMT Ghaziabad. The first time any Mica team had gone out of Ahmedabad or Gandhinagar, let's say out of Gujarat to any tournament. And when we reached IMT and we reached Ghaziabad, everyone headed straight to Bateka. The first day we didn't have any games, so everyone was like, okay, we are out of Gujarat, let's go straight to the wine shop and pick up beers. And we picked up lots of beers, and everybody was basically sleeping after those beers in the evening. Got up just in time for the introductions for our contingent. We managed to perform decently over there, but the girls were the outstanding members of the contingent. Our junior batch had some fantastic football players, some fantastic ED players, so they won the gold in those competitions. The guys, not so much. We thought we were really good in cricket, but unfortunately we ended up getting absolutely thrashed. Football also was quite disappointing.
All right. And something happened when the lights went out in the football match. What was that?
Yeah, this was something which has video evidence, so it is up on Facebook or YouTube or somewhere, where in the first match, we had taken the match to penalties. We'd equalized in the last minute, so we'd taken the match to penalties against quite an average team, actually. But we had the first penalty kick. So the whole of, basically all the colleges are lining up to see this penalty shootout, first penalty shootout is happening. Everyone is lined up, it's like super serious, and like cheering is going on, everything is going on. And Neeraj Narayan is the guy who's taking the penalty. And he runs up, and I'm not even kidding, like literally takes the shot, and in the time between him hitting that ball and the ball traveling to the goalkeeper, in that split second, the floodlights went off. And it was the middle of the night, I think it was 12:30 in the morning or something. And the lights go off and it is absolutely pitch dark. So you don't know whether the ball has gone in, whether the goal has been saved, nothing. So when we saw the video, we realized that the goal has been saved, the penalty has been saved. But at that point in time, we forced the referee to take a retake. We waited for the lights to come on, 10 minutes that took, and then we forced him to take it again. And finally, we won the shootout, thankfully. But that was hilarious, because I've never seen that happening on a football pitch at exactly that precise moment.
Besides that, you also had a Mike Ashes story. What was that?
Mike Ashes is a touchy topic for a lot of people from our senior batch, especially the guy who was involved, because there was a lot of slander happening at that time. But it's quite funny as well, so I'll recount it. We had in our batch, obviously, two boys' hostels and one co-ed hostel. So the two boys' hostels were Amaltas and Gulmohar. Now, Amaltas was full of these brash, arrogant boys who thought a lot of themselves, who wanted Champa actually, but ended up getting Amaltas, and then said, okay, let's make the best of this, and basically made Amaltas into this hostel which would be doing anything at any point in time. Like, you would walk past and these guys are up to something or the other. And it was my hostel, so I know exactly, like, we would do all kinds of crazy stuff. So we had come to a point where there was a sort of, we wanted to play cricket, obviously, so we said, okay, we're going to have Amaltas and Gulmohar matches, let's start a series. And initially it was okay, because obviously you get along with the Gulmohar guys, they're like, you know, they're not as, we never thought they were as good as us in cricket, and I'm not good at cricket, but the other guys in my hostel were. But we never thought our Gulmohar guys were going to be beating us or anything. So we had a series. We realized that they have some fantastic players, and I managed to take the series, 5-match series, to 2-2, and then we won the last match 3-2. So the series is done, everything has happened. And then one of the guys, Neeraj, the captain of the Amaltas team, decides that he wants a 7-match series. So he's getting taunted by Gulmohar, saying, oh, you don't want to have a 7-match series with us. And he's like, fine, we'll do a 7-match series. And all of us are just like, why, Neeraj, why would you do this? But we had the 7-match series, but in between, so in the 6th match, they beat us, so 3-all. in the middle of all this, I mean, Amarnath is up to its own antics, and we have decided that we want a flag. So this was February 14th, which we now celebrate as Amarnath Day. February 15th, 15th of February is Amarnath Day as well. We decided that we want to unfurl a flag, and we had a rag which was basically like the shape of a rectangular flag, a green-colored rag, and on that we wrote the flag of Amarnath, and we put it up in front of the hostel and decided this is our flag. And I think a few days later, like a week later or something, somebody stole that flag and just didn't tell us. I mean, we had no idea where it was. So we got super angry and we were sending mails out and we were asking who's got a flag. We get a video one day put up on YouTube by Gulmohar, in which they have the flag. The whole team is standing with the flag. Someone takes a lighter and lights the flag up, lights it on fire, and then basically puts the ashes in a box. And then they basically call it Mike Ashes. And it became a huge deal, because obviously these guys were like, the guys in my hostel are super angry. They're like, how could they do this to us? And actually, they'd not even taken that flag. I think they replicated the flag and burned something else or something like that. But anyway, we got super angry, and these guys are taking wickets and bats, and they're going to Gulmohar, and they're standing outside and they're shouting at each other. All the Gulmohar guys are standing on the first floor, all the Amarnath guys are standing on the ground floor, and they're shouting at each other from one side to the other. It was quite hilarious. And it was funny because obviously that became more serious. The final match became like a clutch match. We unfortunately ended up losing. So we lost 4-3 finally. So not a very happy ending for us. For Amarnath, who thought we were fantastic cricket players, and generally that we were just the talk of the town, but it was quite funny. In retrospect, it was hilarious. We're all super close. I mean, the guys in Amarnath, at least, we're all extremely close to each other. We have our own groups and we have our own, so we meet every time. We meet on a regular basis in our own cities when there's no viruses floating around. So yeah, it's all got a happy ending.
So football has meant a lot for you, from your Venki days to Mica to PPFC and now to Lex. So tell us a little bit about football. How has it changed you? What has it meant for you?
Yes, actually football is something of, I don't know, when people talk about, you know, you have one thing that you're passionate about and all that, and they look at me and they're like, oh, you have football, you know. I've never thought about it like that, because it's just been a part of my life in such a strong way that it is literally just a part of me. There is no, I don't think of it as a passion that, oh, I can live or die without it or something like that. It's more about, it's so natural. It just becomes like second nature. So when you're talking about football and you go back when we were in college, I mean, started in school, wasn't great, but in college is when we, in Venki, in Delhi, I met a guy called Akshay Tandon, and both of us basically started a football team over there, and we helped bring it up to a point where we came second in BU that year, and eventually they became BU champions, and they have been BU champions for quite a few years after that. So we were really proud, because we had no team literally when we entered college, and we built it up from scratch. And I think that's, it teaches you a lot in life, because you know, every single day, whether it's like 3 or 4 degrees or it's 45 degrees, we used to go for coaching every single day. I can't remember one day where I've missed a football practice or a match or whatever it is. And then after that coaching session in the morning between 7 to 9, after a full day of classes and whatever extracurriculars we have after, we'd come back and we'd play again. So it was insane. The amount of football we were playing every single day was absolutely insane. And it carried on. I went to Mica right after college, actually. So I was 20 when I entered Mica, quite young. And at that point in time, again, I thought I was, I was basically the king over there for football. I was so arrogant about myself. But again, it taught me a lot, because you learn so much from the seniors when they try and put you back and say, oh, you will never pass the ball and stuff. Exactly, I learned from that. You learn a lot from your juniors. When Manas came in, I realized this is a guy who's, you can build a team around, like, you know, the kind of midfield play that he shows. And you make friends. That's the most important thing. I think we have a club called Pandara Park FC, which we started, which Appu started, actually. Akshay Appu started post-Mica in 2009 when he passed out. So that club has people from Mica. It has people from when I was growing up. These are people I've played with for the last 20 years. So I think that is one of the most important things as well. The relationships that you build up with it. Of course, talking about it from a mental standpoint, football is something which puts me in a space which just sort of transcends regular life. You know, your mental space is, you reach a different level. You have your peace, you have your everything at that point in time. So on the football pitch is where I feel at peace the most. And it's tough to imagine in a place where you have so much physical activity to get that level or, you know, reach that level of peace, but I do. So yeah, it is a very important part of my life. It's one of the things I'm missing the most right now while we're at home. But I'm hoping that someone who's listening to this, this in Bombay, can donezo a football to me. That would be great. Thank you.
So the worst footballer that you have played with in Nykaa?
This is funny because I know who has asked this and I know what the answer that they want. But I would say anybody who wants to play football, I mean, there's nothing good or bad about it, right? Like, I was a terrible cricket player, so I can describe myself as probably the worst cricket player that I've seen. I think the person who I would count as someone who probably didn't belong on a football pitch, two people. One was my senior, his name was Parul, and another guy from my batch called Ankush Bhati. And these guys were very much the bouncers in the football team. They weren't really there for the football. They were there to hack people down or to foul them or to just hurt them. So in the first year, I got hurt quite a few times by Parul. And in the second year, we realized that we needed someone like that. Actually, we realized in the first year that we need someone like that. So Ankush became our... Bhati became... I don't call him Ankush, actually. So Bhati became our destroyer in defense. So yeah, these two are probably not fit for the football pitch as much as they are fit for maybe a wrestling ring. So yeah.
And what's your favorite memory from the football field?
Favorite memory? I think out of every single time that I've played there, and it's been many, many years, right? Going back from 2008, I think I went back to Nykaa every year till 2015, and obviously played the whole time over there when I was there. And then obviously the last few years, winning summer in 2018, I didn't go in 19, and then coming back for 20. These are all very special memories. So it's part of me in a very important and strong way, that football pitch. It's one of the, it is my favorite pitch to play on, by far. I love that pitch for all of its faults. It's not the right proportion. It's got bumps. It's got grass that's too long sometimes. In our time, we didn't even have a goalpost. We had bamboo poles, which we tied together to make a goalpost. And I still think that that pitch is probably one of my favorite. It's probably my favorite pitch of all time. My favorite memory comes from 2010 January when we had our placement. And day zero had just gotten over. And I was quite disappointed because I had not gotten to any of my favorite companies at that time. And it seemed like such a big deal, right? I mean, I was 21 or something getting into the working space and I was like, these companies are not taking me and like, what am I supposed to do now and all that stuff. So getting quite disappointed and quite annoyed actually. So I was quite irritated that day, I remember. Frustrated rather. And I decided, and what I would do usually when that I was in that mood, I would pick up a football and I would go to the football pitch. This time it was 3 in the morning because that was how long the process had taken. So 3 in the morning in January, it's freezing, must have been like 4 or 5 degrees for 6 degrees. I don't know how cold it gets in Ahmedabad, but Nykaa always felt like 3 or 4 degrees less than Ahmedabad. And I'm on that football pitch by myself, just kicking it from one end and then going to the other end and then going to the other end. So just back and forth by myself, just really hitting that ball. And once when I was in the other end where the big tree is, I turned around and I see like 5 of these guys just standing there, my batchmates from Amaltas, a lot of my close friends, so Dilip and Abhayasen and a few other guys. I think Manas also came that day. These guys are standing there holding their stuff. They're like, okay, cool, let's play. And I was just like, wow, why are you guys up at 3 in the morning? I mean, you're usually up, but why are you standing on the football pitch with me? They're like, yeah, we heard you when we went to Chota. We heard the sound of the football. We knew you're here because you're mad. So we thought, let's join him. And it was really special because we played football. Oh, we just kept kicking the ball around or whatever at that point in time. And it was one of the most special memories in America for me. Not just as a sporting thing, but yeah, I realized that these are going to be guys who I'm going to be friends with for life.
Beautiful. So how did you start running marathons?
Marathon was something after my career. Actually, there's a funny story which I think Manav Makani would be a better person to narrate. But when they first came into Mica, if you ever do get him on here, you can ask him what was the task that I gave their football team for the initiation. And it involved running, so he'll be able to tell you in detail. But when I left Mica, I had gotten into bad habits, drinking, smoking, all these things. So I was actually working for a liquor company like I am right now at that time in 2012, where I decided, okay, enough is enough. I've been abusing my body. Let's do something about this. And on a whim, like basically without even training or without even doing anything, I decided, okay, let's run this 21 kilometer. I had not run more than maybe any amount that I run on a football pitch, or that's on a weekly basis at that time. And I thought, 21 is achievable. Why not? Let's do it. And I just got up that day, and after registering obviously for the Airtel half marathon in Delhi, and ran, and it seemed like fun to me, so I continued. I did Bombay in January of 2013, then basically about 10-15 half marathons after that, about 3-4 full marathons, and one ultra marathon in Meghalaya in 2018 with Appu and Twinkie, who's Abhay's and a friend of mine. So a very close runner friend of mine. So yeah, running has been a big part of us as a group as well now, apart from just football, because I think we again find ways to push ourselves and do things that obviously will keep us. One of the major motivations for me is obviously to keep playing football, so I have to stay fit for that. But it's also, I guess, fun in a very self-torturing way. So it's a torturous process running. I'm not sure, I get super bored sometimes when I'm running, but I'm not sure it's something I enjoy most times, but I do think it's something where I can push myself and I can compete with myself. So that's one of the primary reasons I do keep running.
Okay. So any final message for our listeners?
As a message, I'm not at the age where I can hand out any words of advice, because I'm not very wise myself. But what I can say is that for those who are in touch with sports, and for those who feel lazy at the thought of going on a Saturday morning to play, or just don't want to like sort of do something about it at that point in time, please go the next time you get the opportunity. I think this time at home is teaching us all a lot about ourselves, and I think it might also teach us about the fact that we have a limited time to play or to compete or to sort of do a lot of things out there in terms of outdoor sports, or in general doing anything to do with sports. So I would say keep doing that, don't start with it. And for people who want to start but have never started, please do. I think it's the most beautiful thing that you can include in your life, and it'll always keep you happy. So yeah, maybe that. And stay safe and stay home for now at least, but whenever you get the opportunity, please make sure you do.
So thank you, Shekhi. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you here.